Hello, and welcome to the Nutrition and Life Podcast. This is where we look at various nutrition and fitness-related topics through the lens of application. We want to give you practical takeaways so that you can create your healthiest, best self backed by knowledge. Now, onto the episode with your host, Coach Lisa.
Hello, and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life Podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with the fitness physician, Dr. Eric Veit. I'm super excited to have him on. He's the owner of a company called Primex, and we're going to be talking about all things hormonal fitness, muscle medicine, hormone optimization, and just in general, health and performance optimization. So welcome to our show, Eric.
Hey, Lisa, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. I'm excited to talk with you.
Awesome. Well, I would love to just start with a bit of an introduction into like who you are, how you got to where you are, what brought you to what you're doing today, because of course, it's always helpful to have a bit of a background.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you again. I appreciate it. Hopefully people will have some fun and learn some things. I'm a board certified physician here in the United States, here in Ohio, and I do telemedicine now all across the country. And I've had, you know, actually people from, you know, in Europe and other places, New Zealand, Australia contact me as well. And it's just been a blast. So I have always been involved in health, nutrition, and fitness. I've been an athlete my whole life, involved in wrestling and martial arts and weight training and all kinds of things. I grew up in a health environment. My parents were teachers, so I loved to learn. My father specifically was in, you know, a science teacher, physiology, biology. So I really learned, and he had familial hypercholesterolemia. So I learned at a very early age about healthy eating and learned how to alter your body composition with diet and exercise. And then as I went to med school, I went kind of the traditional route. I was an emergency medicine physician for many years. And, you know, I did it all. I saw people at their worst and their best and took care of all kinds of crazy things, got some great stories. But as I saw, the traditional medical model was kind of broken. It's gotten worse since then, unfortunately. And I just saw a lot of people that were just in bad shape and ill. And, you know, when I see, you know, people in their 30s, you know, disabled on 20 medications and overweight and sick, and I'm thinking to myself, gosh, there's got to be a better way. This could have all been prevented with a proper lifestyle and nutrition and healthy, you know, natural living. That's what got me into the world of preventive health. So I learned more and delved into endocrinology, got trained and certified in, you know, advanced hormone optimization therapy, learned about peptides and functional medicine and, you know, all kinds of different things, you know. So that's kind of what took me down that road. And ever since then, I've been diving deeper and deeper into that world, and had a clinic where I did this for a long time. And then now I just do all telemedicine. So I treat people of all different things with, you know, whether it's, you know, medical weight loss, you know, hormone optimization, just general anti-aging, longevity, gut health, you know, genetic testing, you name it. And it's just a lot of fun because there's so much to learn, so many cool people like yourself and other fitness pros and physicians and trainers. And it's just been a lot of fun. So that's kind of what I do. So I do telemedicine now, and I practice what I call muscle medicine, what I call cellular medicine. It's kind of a new, really the cutting edge of treatment in terms of really getting to the root cause of underlying issues, not just like the traditional medical model where you just give a pill or do a surgery. It's like, why are you having this issue? And really, my big thing is really pushing the natural approach, you know, try to get people, you know, outside in the sun, you know, moving, getting back to their spiritual side and natural health, real food, you know. And then, of course, we'll do natural supplementation and natural hormone optimization, even peptide therapy if necessary. But I always try to start with the natural free stuff first and kind of go from there. So anyway, so that's my origin story in the superhero world, and we'll go from there.
I love it. Thank you for sharing a little bit about you. And as our audience, or most of our audience, will know that we're big on just the basics on a consistent basis as well, and they're going to be the big needle movers, even if they might not seem super exciting. Things like sun exposure, walking, sleep, exercise, diet, etc. But because we do talk about that quite a bit, I would actually like to get a little bit more into the nitty-gritty, and I'm going to throw over my actual schedule that I had lined up initially. And I do want to actually touch on peptides right away, because you mentioned it again too. And I think people are becoming more and more interested in it, myself included, actually, just or curious about it, not necessarily for myself, at least not at this stage. But yeah, there is a lot of conflicting evidence about it as well. And people are either really, oh no, this is way too, you know, futuristic for me, what's the application of that? You know, quite interested in pro. So I'm curious, maybe you can give us a little bit of an overview of what peptide therapy actually is, or how it came about, and then maybe how you use it, if it's applicable in some of your clients.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I've been into the world of peptides for a number of years now, and it is unfortunately somewhat controversial, as most new things kind of are, kind of like hormones were and still are kind of. But yeah, so it's been actually been studied for many, many years, and especially in Europe and even in Russia, it's been studied for decades. And there's a ton of data out there. You know, here in the States, not as much in terms of, you know, human trials. I mean, they're ongoing and there will be a lot more, and there's a lot going on right now. But you know, peptides are basically natural molecules. They're peptides are basically amino chains of amino acids. And, you know, most people know what amino acids are. That's what makes a protein, right? So, but they're typically smaller, you know, less than 20 amino acids at a time in general. But the most common, you know, most people have probably heard of them, you know, insulin has in our bodies is a peptide. It's a small a chain of amino acids. Oxytocin is a peptide, right? VIP, vasoactive intestinal peptide, is one that's made in our bodies, you know, naturally. And those are peptides. So they are natural molecules. Obviously, in the world of pharmaceuticals, they've learned to enhance them and give them therapeutically in large, in a more effective amounts and larger amounts than what our body would naturally produce to make to create a result. And they're basically, they function as signaling molecules that kind of go through the body and tell the body what to do. It's almost the closest analogy. Some of them almost act like, most people know what like adaptogens are, like the herbs that kind of modulate certain health processes in your body. So some of them kind of act like that. They just basically modulate the body in certain processes to affect a result and you know, a good one. And the nice thing is, because they are natural in nature, they're very, very safe. You know, they can be used effectively with, and there's really hardly any, if any, side effects or downside to them. I mean, any medication could cause a side effect, right? Anything is possible. And they are powerful, so they still have to exert some caution. And I think that's probably where the controversy lies, whereas you see a lot of stuff online, just kind of like with hormones, you could buy anything online, right? And a lot of people are always, there's Facebook pages where like, oh, I get mine from Peptide Science or this company, and it's like, you have to be careful, just like anything, because you know, no matter what they say, most of them are just simply not as pure as what you're going to get from a pharmaceutical product. I mean, even if they're 95% pure, what's that other 5%? If I'm putting something in my body, I want it to be 100% pure, tested, approved, certified, the whole nine yards. You know, so other people will say, no, that's, you don't need to go through that. It's more expensive. I can get them for really cheap for online. You go for it. I'm not going to do that, and I don't want my clients to do that. So I think. And of course, the FDA here in the United States, of course, you know, I don't want to get off on political tangents, but it's all about politics and economics. So they've been trying to take away some of the peptides. I think Big Pharma has their own plans for that down the road to capitalize on it, because they see what's going to happen. They're going to come back and, you know, do their own peptide down the road and, you know, 20 times as much cost, of course, right? So so I think that's where some of the controversy lies. But again, if you look at all the studies, and like I said, especially in Russia and other countries, they've been studied for decades and very, very safe, very effective. But still, like anything, you still have to be careful with them and definitely work with a trained provider. You don't want to work with, you know, Mr. Fitness Trainer online who's just recommending them because he reads about them and, you know, went to a conference kind of thing. And that's just, you know, takes years and years of understanding the actual underlying cellular pathways as to how they work. Because just like anything, there can be a downside if you don't know what you're doing, just like any medication. So you do have to be careful with any medication, hormone, peptide, et cetera. But across the board, they're very, very effective. And like I said, I think that's where the controversy lies, is where do you get them from? What's going on with the FDA here in the States and other regulatory bodies in other countries? You know, it's still up in the air, but I think they are kind of the future of medicine. I think more and more companies, and even like I said, Big Pharma, I know, is getting in on it. Here, look at the weight loss peptides here, you know, like Ozempics and Mounjaros. I mean, those are peptides, right? And they're a multi-billion-dollar business. So they're not going away anytime soon. I know a lot of people still are hesitant to use them, which is totally fine. I mean, I never want to be the first or the last to do anything new. And I studied them, researched them, and tried them, you know, for a while before I really got into it. But, you know, they're very effective if they're used properly. But again, like I said, I see a lot of people that have problems or side effects or bad issues because they don't know, people that are using them that shouldn't be using them, or don't know what they're doing, and they're doing the wrong dosage at the wrong time. And so you do have to be careful, just like any medication. But across the board, it's very exciting, and there's new changes, new things coming out all the time. But they're effective. And like I said, I only get them from pharmaceutical companies because I know they're approved, they're certified, they're tested, and they work. And they've got a lot of usages, which is what's exciting, because there's so many, and that can be used for various functions, especially with so many things going on in society, whether it's, you know, depression, anxiety, gut health, you know, growth hormone optimization, weight loss, you know, helping with building muscle. You know, there's just so many facets to it. So it's what makes it exciting and challenging. So anyway.
No, it sounds super interesting. And yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more that we do see a lot of abuse when it comes to Ozempic, et cetera. But mostly, I think because lifestyle habits are not addressed at the same time. And you did mention that that is always your foundation, always the thing that you tackle first. So when it comes to the peptides that you use, which or what do you most commonly use them for? Is it, for example, for pain treatment, for specific body parts, et cetera? And then also I would be curious in terms of duration, is that something that you use very short term but high dosages, or long term but smaller dosages? I'm completely new to this topic. So yeah, if you can enlighten a little bit.
Absolutely. So I think for many years, I think a lot of us in the peptide space were used various. It kind of depends on the condition. I would say the probably the more popular ones are the ones that promote healing and growth and healing and repair, as well as just overall, I hate to use the word anti-aging, but just overall health promotion, like the growth hormone optimizing peptides were fantastic. So there was one called CJC, and it was combined with another peptide called Ipamorelin. That was one on the hit list from Big Pharma that they don't want a lot of these pharmacies making them, even though they're totally safe. It had to do with the manufacturing of it. It had nothing to do with the actual peptide. That's kind of the misconception. But anyway, but just to be safe, a lot of these pharmacies are no longer making them, but they still make other ones like Tesamorelin, Sermorelin, which has been around. Those are both FDA approved. And they do a lot of things. They help promote growth hormone optimization, basically enhancing your body's own ability to make and secrete growth hormone, which has a lot of benefits on the body in terms of, helping to burn a little bit of fat, helping maintain muscle mass, helping to repair the skin, the bones, the muscles, helping optimize sleep, just helping many, many things in the body. That one was probably one of the top ones and still is. The healing peptides, there was one called BPC-157, which I used a ton of that. And that, again, is on that list. Now we can still get it in an oral formulation, and it's usually combined with another peptide called KPV, which has a lot of anti-inflammatory effects. So that one I've used for years, and it's fantastic for just overall healing of soft tissues like ligaments, tendons. Think of people that have like, joint issues or arthritis or tendinopathies, tendonitis, muscle tears, muscle injuries, gut health, and great for gut health, people who have SIBO or ulcers, gastric reflux, things like that. It's been used in the eyes for like corneal issues. So those two were probably two of the more popular ones, but use a lot of the other ones like for, as you all know, within the last 4 years, immune health has become a big topic. So immune regulation and improving our immune system function is really big too. So the thymusins and the pinealons, they work in the brain and the other parts of the body to promote optimization of our immune system. They don't boost our immune support, but again, like kind of like the adaptogen, they kind of help to modulate it and help our body, our immune system to work a little bit more efficiently. So those are still and quite popular. Those are the probably some of the big ones. And then in terms of like gut health is another big topic, right? And the BPC was very helpful for gut health. There's another one called Lorazepam, which is very helpful for helping with leaky gut and healing the gut. You probably heard a lot of your clients have probably had like, gut issues, and microbiome has been a big topic in the last number of years. And we're learning more and more, but a lot of people, unfortunately, nowadays with all the junk and the glyphosate and toxins and crap in the food and the water, a lot of people are having leaky gut and SIBO and all these gut issues. So these gut peptides are fantastic for helping to heal that, right? So those are very beneficial as well. And then, of course, mitochondrial health, also a big topic in the last number of years. A lot more people talked about mitochondrial function, how it can benefit your cognitive abilities, your performance, and just overall health. Some of these peptides help to improve your mitochondrial function, help your mitochondria to multiply and grow because we lose them as we age. So there's a number of peptides that help with that as well. And still, to this day, there's some that we can use for that as well. And the peptides in general, most of the time, you can use them indefinitely. I mean, you technically could take them all year round. However, a lot of us will kind of rotate them or cycle them. Growth hormone one is a particular one. For example, we like to rotate that for like a classic scenario to do it like Monday through Friday and kind of take the weekends off and kind of reset. But the other ones like the BPCs and some of these other ones, you could take every day of the week for really, you could do them for a year or more at a time. It's very, very safe. However, I still like to rotate them. And like with me, with my nutrition and my training, a lot of my strategies, I like to kind of rotate things anyway, kind of like training. You like to kind of mix things up, keep the body guessing. And, it's kind of like mixing up your vitamin protocol. Just your body adapts. So I think it's good just to rotate. So maybe I'll have them do it for, 3 to 6 months and take a break for a month and kind of go back on kind of thing. Same with like the weight loss peptides. I don't think the people should be on them for like a year. I think you should do them for a few months and take a break, or maybe every month take a week off, or do them for 3 months, take a month off. There's many, many ways to do it. But that's kind of how I use it. A lot of my colleagues use them as well. So that's, but the short answer is they're, like I said, you can use them long term. But I think, again, I think rotating them, and again, it all comes back to the goal. What are you, what's the problem? What are you trying to address? And then is that problem fixed? And can you stop it and do something different? Or is it an ongoing issue? So maybe somebody has, you know, Lyme disease or, you know, some other issue they just can't get rid of. They maybe they need a longer term plan. But a lot of people can, there's some short term things you can get once they kind of get fixed, kind of like with the weight loss, once they get their lifestyle dialed in, they drop the weight. Now they're eating better and their lifestyle's out. Maybe you could stop it altogether. So it kind of depends on the clinical situation.
So it sounds like it doesn't interfere with endogenous production, so to speak. So if you take them continuously, it doesn't mean that at some point your body is going to stop producing, you know, whatever it is. Okay, no, that's great. So I guess I have two specific scenarios or question, because so many people that I work with complain of lower back pain or back pain in general, or especially as we age, we might have maybe not necessarily herniated disc, but just disc degenerating, et cetera. Mm-hmm. What would a protocol, or could a protocol look like to help through peptides with that? And the other just more generalized question would be, how do you specifically use peptides in the sense of longevity and anti-aging, I guess? That's a very, very broad question. I do get that. But yeah, maybe you can still address it in some way.
Yeah, that's an hour-long discussion right there. but back pain, joint pain is a big topic. And we're finding out that a lot of things, especially when it comes to like joint pain, arthritis, things like that, they're finding out that it's not really a kind of a wear and tear issue. It's a more of an inflammatory condition. One of my colleagues, Dr. Yerth, she's an expert on this topic because she was an orthopedic surgeon, still is. But she also does what I do in terms of peptides. And I was just at a peptide conference last weekend, actually, and she did a nice talk on this about how, again, it's more of an inflammatory process. This whole wear and tear is kind of a myth, kind of thing. Same with all the bony injuries. And so we're kind of treating it like a lot of things as an inflammatory process. So again, reduce that inflammation and let the body heal itself, coming down to the cellular pathway. So it can be a little complex. So there's not really like a cookbook approach to it. Everybody's a little bit different. You have to address these underlying issues. But in terms of like therapeutics, obviously, you know, again, lifestyle, nutrition, exercise, of course, if there's any structural modalities that need to be addressed with maybe therapy or, you know, whatever, red light therapy, you know, prolotherapy, different things like that. But like, even like natural products, you know, things like spermidine, high dose spermidine, or other natural collagen, you know, different things that can kind of help the body to heal itself. You know, pentosan polysulfate is a cool little product. It's not really a peptide. It's a natural product that's been used. And actually I forget the trade name for it, but it's actually been approved as an FDA product for various things too, but has a host of beneficial functions on the body, not just for bone, but all kinds of conditions. I mean, I could dozens of them, but specifically for bone, it can help improve heart health and bone health. And it just basically, it helps the body, the chondrocytes, which are the little cells in the joints, to kind of heal and to stop that inflammatory process that I mentioned, and let the joints kind of heal themselves. Because that's what it comes down to, is a lot of these little cells, these chondrocytes and chondroblasts, they get out of whack, and there's too much inflammation. They secrete these little molecules called cytokines, which can be very inflammatory and kind of perpetuate that inflammation, that pain that people have in their back or their knee or wherever that may be. So it kind of quiets that down and promotes healing of that tissue. So pentosan is available. It was created as an oral product, but also available as an intramuscular injection that you do for a period of time. It's like twice a week for like 4 to 6 weeks. Then you can back it down to a once a week. Has shown to be very, very beneficial for this. The other peptides I mentioned, like the BPC, the KPV, these are very powerful anti-inflammatory compounds, which can be used in conjunction with that, and the growth hormone ones as well. So those are a couple of different products in terms of peptides that can be done. But again, how to use it, how quickly, how often, that's going to depend on the case and what's going on specifically. Like I said, it's really more about quieting down the inflammation. And that's where it comes down to, you know, the diet. Are they eating any inflammatory diet? What kind of exercise are they doing? You know, are they doing any other modalities, right? And like I mentioned, things like natural products, you know, collagen and spermidine, other things like that, vitamin D, all these different things that can help the body to heal, quiet down the inflammation, letting it heal, can be very beneficial too. So sometimes you can stack these different protocols, the natural products, the peptides, and put them on a regimen and kind of quiet that down. And obviously disc pain can be a little problematic. Obviously, if there's a big structural issue, maybe it can only do so much. Maybe they do need, you know, advanced therapy or some kind of injections, and heaven forbid, last resort would be a surgical kind of thing, but that can be very difficult. I think in terms of like a longevity protocol, anti-aging, I think you asked about, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to approach that. I think, again, it really comes down to addressing everything in kind of a stepwise fashion. I think, you know, of course, lifestyle, you know, mitochondrial health and gut health, reducing inflammation, and really just it's about optimizing the cell. So it's like you're really, like I said, kind of peeling back the layers of the onion to get down to the cell and how does it work? All those little mitochondria in the cell, getting them to work properly. It's, you know, we're supposed, our little mitochondria and our little cells are supposed to take in fuel, you know, carbohydrates and fats, et cetera, and process that and make energy out of ATP and not spit out a lot of reactive oxygen species. So think of like an engine, it's supposed to take in gas and burn it very cleanly, make the car go and not spit out a lot of fumes and exhaust. But a lot of us are spewing out a lot of exhaust because there's a lot of inflammation, and that's what we have to work on, getting that cell to work properly. And it's hard because we live in a very toxic world, which is, that's my big thing, is like all these synthetic drugs we take, and there's glyphosate everywhere, and there's aluminum and metal in our cereal and our soil, and, you know, our nutrients are depleted out of the soil, and there's, you know, crap in the air and all this. So it's difficult. So we're fighting a big uphill battle for sure. So it's, you know, detoxifying and, you know, you eating clean, you know, getting filters everywhere. And like we talked about, about getting out in the sun and getting fresh air and, you know, working on our mind, our spirit, our body all at the same time. So it's a, there's a lot there. But I think just kind of really getting back to a natural way of health and getting, you know, putting these devices away, getting away from electronics and getting outside and getting fresh air, filtering our air when we are inside, constant movement. Sometimes it's as simple as that. But you know, other things is like we talked earlier about optimizing your mitochondria, optimizing your gut. And that's where peptides and hormone therapy can have, can play a big role, because no matter what we're doing, sometimes it's just not enough. And you need to take that extra step. If someone's hormones are dysfunctional or subtherapeutic, like if a woman's going through perimenopause or menopause, you can be doing all these things and taking herbs and all these things. It's just not going to be enough. You have to replenish, you know, replenish your hormones with some natural bioidentical hormones to get you to where you need to be. And that's going to provide that missing link. Some of the peptides I mentioned can improve your mitochondrial function, improve your growth hormone to help your body to stay young and vibrant, to help you sleep. There's other peptides and natural product to help you sleep. You know, a lot of times as we get older, and again, everything, you know, a lot of us are just that hurry, 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 go, go, go stress mentality. We're working harder and sleeping less. And I think sleep and stress are two of the big ones that I see all the time. It's, I mean, I'm a big fan of, I don't have any pictures, but I got superhero stuff everywhere. And it's like, you know, kind of like Superman with his big ass, I have the double S. I always talk about sleep and stress. You know, I think that's huge. You know, again, I always like to start with the free, easy stuff. And everybody's like, oh yeah, I know, sleep more, don't stress. But who actually does it, right? And we're all not doing it optimally. So I think that's a big, big, big one. So, but I think, again, kind of approaching that stepwise fashion, you know, lifestyle, sleep, stress, movement, exercise, toxins, getting rid of the toxins, you know, getting healthy stuff and getting away from all the, like, you know, artificial world we live in, trying to live as naturally as possible. And then we can kind of go to the next step of, do you need hormone optimization? Do you need peptide therapy? Other advanced nutraceuticals to help the body, whether it's mitochondrial support with, like, say, like urolithin A, which I'm a big fan of, or spermidine, or all these other products you probably hear about. I mean, there's a million supplements you could take, but we can get overloaded with them. But, you know, start with the basics and kind of build from there. So hopefully that, I don't know if that helped a little bit. There's a lot there. So
yeah, no, I love how you're layering that. And I mean, it's, we often like to think, we can just keep living our lives the way that we are living them. Where's the magic pill to help us continue that way? And we don't want to hear that we should be addressing our sleep and our stress first, but it is the reality. I do have two follow-up questions. So firstly, in regards to the inflammation, of course, eating a diet high in antioxidants, et cetera, is going to be helpful with that, generally speaking. But what's your take also on something like omega-3? Firstly, do you recommend that to your clients? And also, if so, what kind of dosage? Because, I mean, we hear things about like super dosing or super high doses of omega-3s. Is that actually something that has a place somewhere or not? Or would you rather go with like 1 to 2 grams of EPA, DHA daily type of thing for everybody?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's an interesting one too, because in the last number of years, I've read more and more, learned a little bit more about omegas and how there's starting to be some counter arguments to that. I was a big fan of it for a long time, and I still tend to recommend it, especially for patients that have like metabolic syndrome or PCOS, or they're overweight, or they need some brain health support. I think it can be very beneficial. I think, as with most things, especially when it comes to supplements, I think the best way, of course, is through natural food, right? Of course. So if you can eat, you know, good quality, you know, Alaskan salmon a couple times a week or something, I think that's best. If you can get it, you know, food that's you know, not farm raised, but wild caught, you know, free of toxins. And of course, everybody's like, well, what about the mercury and all this thing? So that's why I get as naturally as possible. But a lot of people, yeah, they can't. So you have to take a supplement. And a lot of people still, of course, I think there's a lot of good data out there supporting it. I think I'm starting to, there's been a lot more studies showing maybe not as good, or maybe there's the big concern is that is it oxidized? You get it, if you don't get a good quality product, as it sits in the bottle or as it's shipping or whatever, it can get oxidized. And that can, and then when you take that, you're taking an oxidized oil, which can cause more harm than good. And there's several people who promote more of a metabolic kind of lifestyle and kind of avoiding all kind of fatty fats except for like saturated fats. You know, the whole, I'm definitely against PUFAs, the polyunsaturated fatty acids. I think we definitely weigh too much of that. So I think eliminating all the seed oils, the canola oil, corn oil, safflower, or all these oils, I think really sticking to like, you know, this the you know healthy doses of like saturated fats, obviously, you know, in food, and then maybe some coconut oil or MCT oil or good quality cold pressed olive oil if it's not adulterated, which is, you know, again, you got to find a good one, right? It's kind of sometimes it's hard. And that's it. The omega-3s, I think if you get a good quality brand and you know for sure it's been tested and it's pure, I think it's totally fine. And like you said, the data, you know, at least a couple, most people recommend, you know, 1 to 4 grams, kind of somewhere in that range. And if it's someone who really needs help with brain, especially the DHA component, I think the acid, like the krill oil has like astaxanthin, and the krill oil, maybe a little bit more support for brain health and things. So I tend to start to use that a little bit more. But I think they can both be helpful at the right dosages. And then the other thing I've been doing lately is using a product called, the company's called Fatty 15. It's a new fatty acid that's been discovered. It's kind of C15. I forget the scientific name. It's a long one, but it's kind of a new fatty acid. And when you look at the studies, it actually has a lot more benefits across the board than the omega-3s. So I've been using that myself and starting to recommend it for some of my clients. And that's a new one as well. But it doesn't replace omega-3s. It's kind of an addition to it, but it just, I think for the bang for the buck, I would, if I had to pick one, I'd pick that one, and then just stick with eating some fish. But I think again, it's just tricky because some people are getting, you know, when you look, there's a few studies that have shown, like, you know, you look at your cell membranes, and again, that's why the PUFAs are tricky because they can disrupt your cellular membrane and disrupt the function of your cell. And if they get oxidized, it's causing more damage and it's impairing that mitochondrial function we were talking about earlier. And some people say the omega-3s do the same thing, so you really shouldn't be taking them at all. Other people say the opposite. Again, you know, I don't think we know. I think that's the tricky part. So I think if you've got some underlying metabolic and, you know, metabolic syndrome, PCOS, you're overweight, I think it would be helpful to kind of help you with that. Again, as long as it's a quality source, you really have to do your research, make sure it's a good quality product. It's not oxidized, it's shipped quickly, that kind of thing. Or the easiest thing is just to eat some good fish, you know, kind of thing a few times a week. And then you can look at the Fatty 15 supplement, which I've been recommending and as well. So, and it's a little bit of a nuanced, complex answer there, but it's a good one because I've been dabbling into that, looking more into that myself.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely take a look at that. And yeah, absolutely. I don't think people should be going for the omega-3 at Walmart or whatever. So
Right.
yeah, the second supplement I had a question or have a question about is in regards to cellular function. So at the beginning of the year, just to give you a little bit of a context, at the beginning of the year, I went through an egg freezing procedure, and in preparation of that, I heard that it would be helpful to potentially supplement with coenzyme 10 or CoQ10. Which I did, and everything went very well. At the moment, I'm not supplementing with CoQ10, but in general, I hear that that is something that is or can be beneficial for cellular function. Is that something that you work with your clients too, or would you agree with that statement, I guess?
Yeah, CoQ10 is a pretty effective product because a lot of us don't have enough of that, and especially, you know, statins are massively, I think, overprescribed. I think, you know, if you're on a statin, you should definitely be taking CoQ10 because your function of that will definitely go down. So, yes, I think it's a good product to improve cellular health and mitochondrial function in general. And you can get in the ubiquinone or ubiquinol. It comes in a couple of different forms, but I think it's a good product to take. And then in terms of, like, you know, you could also take it with things like PQQ, or, you know, there's some other nutrients that can kind of support mitochondrial function. Urolithin A, which I mentioned, MetoPure is a product that I use, but they all enhance mitochondrial function. A lot of people are doing things like methylene blue, you know, as well to also to improve mitochondrial function. So anything you can do to improve your mitochondrial function, I think is going to be helpful in many processes, especially like as you mentioned, for like fertility issues or, you know, metabolic syndrome, PCOS, all these different things we were talking about. But yeah, in general, short answer is CoQ10. I think it's, yeah, definitely a good tool to use.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you for your perspective on that one. And yeah, you mentioned earlier, just in general, hormones as well. And as we age, obviously, you mentioned we go through, especially as women, we go through various transitions. So in terms of your clients, what are some of the main hormonal issues you see? And how, aside from the lifestyle factors, stress management, training, et cetera, do you approach them?
Yeah, I see a lot of that. And as I mentioned before we got on, I have a lot of female clients, probably more than I do men now. And, you know, I'm big on, you know, muscle medicine is what I kind of name it, because I think it's muscle. People still have misnomers about it. And muscle is an endocrine organ. It's like our largest endocrine organ. It creates and secretes myokines and does many other things for the body above and just making us look good, right? It actually enhances our cellular function. And we're talking about longevity and anti-aging. That's one of the best things you can do. It has beneficial effects on the brain, on the heart, on the bone, on your liver, all your internal organs, because it improves your glucose metabolism. It secretes these myokines, which these little cellular messaging signals called cytokines that enhance function and elsewhere in the body. So it's very important to maintain or add muscle, because as we age, we lose it. And what we call sarcopenic obesity is epidemic, meaning we're losing muscle and gaining fat. And that's not what we want, because fat is very inflammatory. And see how it all kind of ties together, like we were talking in the beginning about getting rid of that fat and building that muscle, because that's going to enhance our cellular environment, enhance our cytokines, and enhance our environment to improve health and live longer. So especially for the ladies, I try to get them to eat more and more protein to help me and lift heavy weights to build that muscle. You're not going to get big and bulky, but you're going to maintain your healthy physique and you're not going to get fat. And a lot of women want to, my biggest complaint I hear, and you probably do too, is like, well, I'm getting fat around the middle, or I got that back bra fat or whatever. And they just want to run the treadmill all day and eat like a bird. I'm like, no, quit running, lift more, eat a little bit more. And they're like, what? You know, yes, trust me, it works. So improving that metabolic environment to build your metabolism and build muscle so you can actually do more, eat more, and you'll feel better. You're boosting that metabolism, you're boosting that energy, and the fat will burn itself off in the process. So I think that's the biggest, hardest thing to overcome. You've probably seen that too, is just building that metabolism, building up that muscle. And obviously eating, training, of course, can do that. But again, with most of my women are perimenopausal or menopausal, and of course, they're fighting that hormonal environment, which can be very make a big impact on that muscle. And for all of them, and women need, typically they'll lose progesterone first and testosterone, and then estradiol is kind of the last to go, but all three of them, and thyroid hormone can be very beneficial for that metabolism. So I see all those, and I see a lot of women with PCOS. I don't know if you have a lot of women who deal with that issue, but that's a big problem, and it's very undiagnosed, and it's very common. And sometimes it's sneaky and you don't realize it's there unless you're really looking for it. And women with that, as you know, have problems with insulin resistance, and they can have all kinds of, you know, fertility issues, weight gain issues, health issues, higher risk of cancer, and all these different things. So reversing that is huge. All the hormones oftentimes need to be replenished. If someone's not yet menopausal, then of course, you know, progesterone is going to be helpful for improving sleep and reducing inflammation, improving thyroid health. A lot of these women need thyroid support. You know, sometimes if we could do it with diet and supplementation, a lot of them just need bioidentical hormone with thyroid. And that's going to boost that metabolism, help burn that fat, and help them feel a lot better, improve their overall health. And then testosterone is still kind of maligned within the female community. A lot of women are still worried and scared about it. And women need it just as much as men, sometimes more so, because it's going to help all those things. It's going to help with body composition. It's going to help with mood and drive and energy. Yes, it's going to help with sex drive and libido. Definitely, but it will also help with maintaining that muscle mass, burning off that dangerous visceral fat and improving their metabolism. And then lastly is estradiol. When women go through menopause, obviously they need that. And again, there's tons of myths there. We could probably talk for an hour about that. I still see on like Facebook communities and things, everybody's worried about estrogen and don't take it because it's going to make you fat and retain water. And no, it's actually the opposite. You will actually burn visceral fat. You will get leaner and feel better if you optimize your estradiol, and it will actually help you build muscle. There's some studies. I'm actually writing an article for a gentleman who has a research review on that topic right now about how it can actually help women get a little bit stronger and actually put on a little bit of muscle and burn some fat by optimizing your estradiol. So all the hormones are very beneficial for women as they get older, especially whether you have PCOS or not. But as you go through perimenopause and menopause, definitely is going to help you live longer, stronger, better, and help reduce your risk of heart disease, reduce your risk of osteoporosis, reduce your risk of Alzheimer's, reduce your risk of cancer, and all these things. So, you know, most women are interested not just looking better, feeling better and living longer so they can be there for their family and be there for their children, their grandchildren. If you want to do that, then you have to do all these steps and you're gonna do it. So
I love how much more information is getting out there when it comes to menopause, and that thankfully that misleading information that the Women's Health Initiative has sort of spread a few years ago is starting to be dispersed. But just
oh my gosh, slowly. Yeah.
but yes, I love hearing just how you educate women as well on strength training. And one quote that I believe Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, she's kind of like spreading it, is called, she always says, we're not necessarily overfed, we're under muscled. And
yeah.
I love that because it's so true, not just for women, but like in general,
the
society or a whole entire world. So yes, more women do need to start strength training and eating more protein and eating more in general, not just constantly going from one diet to another.
Right.
But yeah, when it comes to hormone therapy, so you mentioned the three big ones, the progesterone, testosterone, and estrogen. Would you normally, let's just say someone comes to you in perimenopause with, I mean, obviously, I know it depends on her labs and her symptoms and so on, but more often than not, do you start with progesterone, then adding in a little bit of testosterone, and then resorting to estrogen? Or is because I think often women just think hormone therapy, it's just estrogen replacement or whatever.
Right.
But I have heard by several people by now that they actually often start with progesterone or testosterone and then layer in the estrogen.
Yeah, typically there is a little bit of an art to it. And it's when women get into perimenopause, it's kind of, we call it like no man's land, because anything can happen. You've seen it all. Some women will not have a cycle for 6 months and all of a sudden they're having another cycle. And, you know, classically it's menopause after a year of without a menstrual cycle, but some women will go maybe 10, 11 months and then, but they're clearly in menopause. So it's a little bit of a gray area. But yeah, typically once, if they're still having cycles and they don't need estradiol, they have plenty. And even if it's down on your blood work, it goes up and down throughout the month, of course. So, typically that's the last one to add on. So yeah, I'll typically start with progesterone and testosterone first if they're having symptoms and their labs are low. But again, you have to know where they are on their cycle and what kind of symptoms and correlate that, because if you give it too soon, it could be a problem. And definitely I've seen a lot of people with being put on estrogen too early. Sometimes some people are starting to start a little bit before true menopause because they are having symptoms. Their labs are consistently low. Even though it hasn't been the full 12 months, can you start at a low dose? Sometimes you can. But it's tricky because if you start too soon and you catch them at the wrong time when they're making some, now they're going to be miserable because they have way too much. So you do have to be careful with that. That being said, it definitely has its role. But yeah, across the board, other than, and like I said, thyroid is a big one because oftentimes, again, very misprescribed or misdone and done improperly. You have to be very careful with that one. But progesterone is very, very safe. And, you know, I start with that. Most women need that out of the gate, and then the testosterone, and they get great results just with that. And then as they progress down the perimenopause, menopause pathway, then that's when we'll evaluate them for estradiol and we'll start that. And that's usually the last piece. Sometimes it comes sooner, sometimes it comes later. And then we'll go down that road and kind of go from there.
Awesome. Yeah. And during that time, the thing that I am, or the women that I see affected most of the time by sort of a quote unquote sluggish thyroid are the ones that have been dieting. And on top of that, perhaps consuming a little bit too much alcohol or having a very, very stressful life. Like that sort of triangle is, in my opinion, like, oh, red, and you know what
right.
Leads to those severe symptoms, unfortunately, but it's so common. And so yeah, I definitely think we need to give the thyroid more love, not just during perimenopause and menopause, but just in general. I just wanted
definitely
to backtrack a little bit to the PCOS that you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And again, I guess I just want to give people some practical things as well. And one of the supplements I have heard more and more about for PCOS in terms of helping the insulin resistance during that time as well, is myo-inositol. Is that something that you like to work with, or and not necessarily? Is it kind of overhyped in your opinion? What's your take on that?
Yeah, myo-inositol has some good data behind it for PCOS symptoms. It can definitely help with improving insulin sensitivity, shuttling of that blood sugar, the glucose into the cells. So I think there's some good data there. I don't use a lot of it. Occasionally, I will use it. Metformin has been used, of course, for many, many years, and a lot of people still do really well with that. Some people just don't tolerate it as well, but it's cheap. It's pretty simple. I also use a lot of like berberine or dihydroberberine because it has very similar effects and can do some great things. It has other beneficial effects like gut health and things like this. And I know that's been in the press and online quite a bit. And alpha lipoic acid is another one that can also help with insulin sensitivity and glucose handling and those some types of things as well. Of course, other things like chromium and natural products like cinnamon, et cetera. All these things can help improve insulin sensitivity. So I think all of them can be used. It kind of is just a question of what works for each patient because everybody's going to be a little bit different. But yeah, I think the myo-inositol can be definitely helpful for sure.
Okay, awesome. And I want to use these last 5, 10 minutes to talk a bit more about your health and performance optimization program. You have a program which I'm going to link in the show notes as well. But of course, I'm big on performance optimization. I love my training. I love just in general mental performance. And I think everyone should be focusing on getting the best out of themselves and that they can. So what sort of pillars or main things, do you discuss in that program?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And before I get on that too, in terms of back with PCOS, a lot of women need some help with that too. And that's where the hormone optimization was often the missing piece. In addition to, I'll start with the natural products and add the hormone. A lot of women need thyroid support, even if they're not overtly hypothyroid, it will benefit them quite a bit. And then there's some other things like trehalose is a cool little sugar that can actually have insulin sensitivity effects and some anti-aging effects, gut health effects, a lot of cool things. Spermidine we talked about is a nice little natural product which is beneficial. Ketone esters have been around for a little bit, can also be beneficial for especially if they're trying to do some fasting or just trying to improve their insulin sensitivity, their overall anti-aging. So especially when you combine it with things like alpha lipoic acid and berberine, et cetera, can be very beneficial as well. But trehalose is a kind of a cool little product. Has been around for it's kind of the newer kid on the block, but it's kind of neat. And then hydration is big too. Especially if they're training. A lot of women and men just aren't hydrating well. And I use a product called Icell water from a pharmacy that makes it. And you can make your own. I have this cellular hydration formula that combines a bunch of amino acids together to improve cellular hydration and improve, which can also help you with maintaining muscle mass, performance, and things like that. So sometimes hydration is one of the missing pieces when we're doing these protocols or whether you're fasting or eating a lot. One or the other is kind of really focusing on that cellular fluid hydration inside the cell. But so that amino acid formula can be very, very beneficial as well. Yeah, so in terms of my protocols and programs, obviously, it's very foundational. I have like a health and hormone program, and then I have various peptide programs I use, and sometimes I'll combine them. So I kind of bundle them all together. So with my health and hormone program, I kind of do what we talked about. I always start with lifestyle, optimizing sleep, diet, exercise, lifestyle, meaning like you said, I'm big on natural health, getting outside, getting sun, getting fresh air, getting out in the woods, getting out, going for the hike. I think we're missing that spiritual connection. Being by ourselves, being with the ones we love. I think community, I think a lot of this, in this hustle bustle society, I think we need to spend more time in nature and either by ourselves or with the ones we love and connecting to God, connecting to the universe has a very calming, very therapeutic effect. I think it sometimes that's a missing piece. We all want that pill, we want that quick fix, but sometimes it just takes time and nurturing. There's a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I highly recommend it. It's a very good book. It's definitely more faith-based, but it's very, I think, big, and it resonated with me about slowing down and just taking time and how therapeutic that can be. So, don't brush that off. It's very important. So, it's one of those missing pieces. But yeah, then we'll look at nutraceutical support too. A lot of we talked about a lot of supplements today. I've got a bevy that I will use and kind of rotate in and out depending on what the client's needs and goals are. And of course, there's hormone optimization, which is a whole world in and of itself. We talked about progesterone and thyroid and estradiol and testosterone, all very beneficial, especially for women. And one last thing too, I know this is a big point of confusion, with estradiol is I'm a big proponent of oral estradiol, which I know a lot of women are like scared of. There's still a lot of rumors and myths out there on online communities like, oh, you can't do. Even doctors are saying, oh, oral estradiol is bad for the liver, it causes blood clots, it gets metabolized, so you don't want that. That's not true. It's just not true. Oral estradiol, true estradiol, has not been done. And now it's with Prempro, they're thinking of Prempro, Premarin birth control pills, the synthetic ones, those can cause problems. But oral bioidentical estradiol, not estrone, not estriol, but estradiol, never been shown to do that. If anything, it's beneficial. The NIH actually studies this, and that's what they use, is oral estradiol. And that the breakdown products of that through the liver, that's what helps the heart prevent heart problems. They break down into products called fatty acid esters and these other products that actually improve cardiovascular outcomes. And that is what reduces cardiovascular risk, improves your lipids, reduces your risk of heart attack, strokes, Alzheimer's, improves that above and beyond what transdermal estradiol to do. So they'll both help a little bit with hot flashes and all these things, but the oral form is the only one that actually provides the most bang for your buck in terms of cardiovascular health and prevention of atherosclerosis, heart disease, and heart attacks, which is the number one killer of men and women is heart disease. So you want the most bang for your buck, that's the way to go. And it does not cause blood clots, never been shown, ever. It does not cause liver problems, ever. It just doesn't happen. If you had that study, please send it to me. I would love to see it, because all of my colleagues, my mentors, Dr. Ruzzi is one of my mentors. He's done this for decades and has thousands of studies to back this up. So that's kind of another myth that's out there. I just want to throw that out there, because I had a lot of people are like, oh no, no, you know, but trust me, just you got to, if you go by the studies and go by the clinical outcomes and thousands of patients, that's what I look at. I don't look at opinion or what someone said or what I heard or what I read. I'm like, you got to look at the facts, and it's just plain and simple. So that's what I do. And then of course, peptide therapy is another part of my program, whether it's a lot of women and men come to me for weight loss. And as you know, we talked about the GLP-1 agonists. They're big, but they're very much misused nowadays. And you can get them on any corner. You see salons and you know people that have no medical training at all somehow getting it and prescribing it, and they don't know what they're doing. And they're unfortunately, that's why we're reading about these bad outcomes, people having issues, because they don't know what they're doing. You have to work with a healthcare provider who knows what they're doing, because they can definitely be abused and misused. And there's some cooler new ones now. There's there's the tirzepatides, which block two hormones, and there's a triple blocker now too. And then there's another one called cagrilintide, which also has an effect on another incretin molecule called amylin. So there's some newer products out there, but these are very effective. But again, you have to be very, very, very careful with these and know what you're doing, because they're getting misused. Unfortunately, I know, same with hormones. I see people who are, getting them off the internet person online who's a trainer, and she looks cute and all, and she's just, oh, I'm a hormone expert, because I interviewed a doctor and I went to a conference, and they're not a medical professional. And then they're coming to me because I see them because they're having bad outcomes. They come to my colleagues who I network with all the time, and they're seeing these people. And it's not just that I'm against it. I mean, I want people to get help. You don't have to come to me. You can go, as long as you work with someone who knows what they're doing. I just don't want people to get hurt. And I'm seeing that, unfortunately, because you definitely have to know what you're doing. So you have to be careful with it. Sorry, I get off on a tangent, but I get very passionate about this, and I'm excited. I love it when people feel better, and I want them to look good and feel good. And I don't want them to get hurt. I want them to get proper care. I want to do it right. Sometimes we have to, take the extra time, spend the extra money to do it the right way. There's no shortcuts, as you know. So peptides, we talked about, there's a million of them, and it just, again, it kind of depends on the protocol you want to do. Most people are coming to me because they want to lose weight. They want to sleep better. They want their brain to work a little better. They want to improve their health and live longer. A lot of people want to live a healthy life. They want to be able to travel, play with their kids, play with their grandkids. And that's why I get passionate about, is helping people get that way, to get that energy back, to go through the day. I want to be able to go on a hike and travel with my family and feel good about myself and sleep through the night and actually wake up with energy, and feel good. Look in the mirror and be like, yes, I feel good. I look good. And that's what I want. I want my patients to feel that way. So that's what I get very excited and passionate about. And I want to help people as much as I can. And like I said, it doesn't have to be me, as long as it's someone who's working with them, knows what they're doing, but that's what I get excited about. And that's kind of what I do. So I'm all about health and performance optimization, whatever that and track that may take. And again, I try to get back to natural health, away from the vagaries and the nuances of our modern healthcare system, which is incredibly broken, and trying to get people away from that. It's not just a pill for every ill. It's just get away from that. Let's treat the underlying issues and figure out why you're having issues. So you see if we can fix it and get you off, is take less things as much as possible and get back to natural health. That's what I'm all about. So if I can help with anybody with that, I'm happy to help.
Thank you so much for all this great information, Eric, also for highlighting just the importance of the quality of peptides in general, of the estrogen, et cetera, all that information. I will definitely make sure to link your company Primex in the show notes as well. And of course, thank you for the book recommendation. I always love new books, and yes. Yeah, it sounds like something that everybody could benefit from. So The Relentless Elimination of Hurry, is that what it was titled?
I believe that's the name of it. I'm going to screw it up. I think it's The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect.
I had it Yeah,
Well,
it's a good
I'm sure something will pop up when I Google this. So thank you for that. And also go check out Eric's podcast, which is titled Relentless Vitality. So I am sure you just discuss a lot of helpful information on there as well.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to remind me, I'll send you a link. I have I'll give a free download of my Secrets of Hormone Therapy and a free Lose the Gut Cheat Sheet. I can send a link if anybody wants. They can click
Perfect.
On that and download that. So let me know.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy to help.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or share the episode on social. Very much appreciated. You can also follow us on Instagram at Nutrition Coaching and Life, or head to our website, www.nutritioncoachingandlife.com, where we provide more valuable content. Have a wonderful day. Now go out and work on your best self.